Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, you've heard me say it already once today. This is the last day, Sunday of the church year. Others have titled it Christ the King Sunday. We all know from our confirmation days that we preach that Jesus Christ is the prophet, priest, and king. And oh, how he fulfills those roles. And we especially focus in on Jesus as king today. We know that as a prophet, he boldly spoke the truth and told God's people exactly what they needed to hear. As a priest, he was the mediator between God and man. And incidentally, he was not only our priest, but the one who gave his life, the sacrifice. But as king, he comes as one who is sovereign over us, over all of our lives. However, when we talk about Jesus as king, we open up this complex topic of power. We regard kings as those who exercise power. Some people crave power, and we all desire some of the benefits of power, don't we? We see that desire for the benefits of power in our politics. Oh boy, have we. We've just elected a president, and whether we agree with the outcome of the election or not, we may feel exhausted by such a long campaign. And we wonder, and never really quite know, if all that money that was spent, all the effort that was given, and all the affront we had to suffer with will pay off. But whatever our political leanings, we all want a president who shows strength. A generation ago, we so wanted a president who would stand strong against communism and the threat of nuclear war. Today, the issue is terrorism, and we need a president that will take a strong stance. We wouldn't tolerate a president who was weak on those issues. But as individuals, we may not obsess about power as some do, but we all seem to want at least enough power over our lives to make our own decisions. We don't really want too many people or groups or even forces, whatever they may be, to control us so that we can't feel a measure of freedom. We understand that rules and regulations enable us to live in community with others and that we can't always get our way. But I think you all have felt that chafing at the things that want to limit us. We want enough power to live our own lives. And so we understand God has power. And we often wonder, how does that power affect us? We all want God's power to protect us and to influence our lives. Maybe you've seen that poster that says, "This is God. I will be handling your problems today. I don't need your help." These posters sound reassuring in a sense, but they kind of run the risk of making God out to be a personal assistant. The poster almost can sound like we're saying, "Hey God, clean up this mess." The mess that we've made. The poster does speak to our desire to look for the ways God influences our lives, protects us, and uses power for good in everyday troubles that we experience. And some of our problems and troubles really frighten us. And we hope God takes our side in the fight. We often see ourselves as David and the problems that we endure as Goliath. We want God to aim that rock so that it slays our troubles. And we hope God's power will change our circumstances. But as we look at Jesus on the cross in our passage today, we might wonder how Jesus helps us understand these expectations about power. Does Jesus as king show the kind of power we expect as a leader? Does Jesus have power over his own life? Does Jesus teach us anything about how God acts in our circumstances? So here's the problem as we've read this text and let it sort of ruminate in our hearts. Hanging on the cross, Jesus seems more like a victim than a king. The Roman government reserved crucifixion for those who tried to break free of its control. We know that. They intended that the contorted faces and agonized screams from those crosses to deter anyone from taking up a sword and fighting for their own freedom. So if the Jewish people wanted a Messiah who could lead them to political freedom, Jesus doesn't really seem to appear at this juncture to meet that expectation, does he? We see soldiers taunting his leadership. "If you're the king of the Jews, save yourself," they said. And then there was the sign above his head that said, "This is the King of Jews." Obviously meant to ridicule than to honor. If we today want a leader who can protect us from our enemies, Jesus doesn't seem to model the kind of power and leadership we expect, does he? Jesus as king appears weak before enemies and the power structures of his day. In his utter humiliation, Jesus does not seem to help us in our quest for more control and the dignity in our own lives. Here we see Jesus hanging between two criminals. Jesus dying outside among those outside the law and those who were considered outcasts. It's pretty amazing when you think about it. Here was God in the flesh, unable to move his arms or legs. He endures insults. The soldiers subjected him to the indignity of gambling for all his possessions, what was left, his cloak. If we want at least enough power over our lives to keep from feeling crushed by forces beyond our control, Jesus doesn't appear to help us this much in this passage. God's power didn't pull the nails out of his body and bring him down from the cross. If we look for the power of God to handle our problems and change our circumstances, we do not seem to find that kind of power described in this passage. First criminal, well, he wanted what you and I often want. He wanted the power of God to change his circumstances. Obviously, he wanted down from the cross. He wanted out of that mess. He wanted help with a very particular problem. But Jesus did not offer him that kind of help or show him that kind of power. You see, and as you know, Jesus doesn't always fulfill our expectations about power in any of the ways that we want to work for us. Sometimes we feel left unprotected. our personal freedom attacked, and no one to intervene on behalf of our troubles. Wanting those kinds of power for our lives isn't necessarily wrong. It's just that Jesus doesn't show power in those ways. You and I know that we live as very vulnerable people, never knowing the danger that we might be faced with tomorrow. Finding personal freedom remains a constant struggle. We cannot control how God acts in our lives. But instead, Jesus shows us powers in ways we need to really read carefully to see. Jesus' power in this incident at the cross does not come across in flashy ways. We see Jesus' power in the conversations he has while he hangs on a cross. Jesus shows power over his reaction to what happens to him. So in spite of the cruelty, pain, and humiliation that he was facing, he seemed to maintain his trust in God. His faith doesn't get him down from the cross, but it sustains his spirit while he endures the cross. He continues to trust God even in the worst of situations. Now that sounds like something that you and I could really use. Here's something else. He doesn't give in to anger as we're so easily apt to do, or bitterness, or despair. We might find this kind of inner spiritual strength elusive. I think we do. But with Christ's help, we can move toward that kind of faith. We can claim power over our reactions, our feelings, and our attitudes. The Holy Spirit can work in us to empower us for this kind of faith. Jesus also shows us the power of forgiveness. Isn't it interesting that only Luke records Jesus asking God to forgive the very people who torture and kill him? We may not see forgiveness as power, but Jesus demonstrates to us that forgiveness creates something in us, and Jesus revealed to us what those things can be: courage, generosity, humility. And while we watch the soldiers become less human, we see Jesus becoming more human, or at least what we hope of human beings. The soldiers and those who command them twist themselves into monsters, while Jesus hangs on the cross even more heroic. The soldiers tormented Jesus' body, but they could not crush his soul. They offered him savagery. He offers them a prayer. Jesus shows the power of forgiveness. Forgiveness has the power, as we know, to heal relationships, to heal marriages, to heal families, and to even heal churches. Forgiveness has the power, as we know, to break down walls and leap over huge chasms thought impossible to get over. Forgiveness has the power to restore and repair what others have destroyed. Finally, Jesus shows his true nature as king when he offers up the power to open up eternal life. The second criminal recognized his sin, and he says, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus promised him, "Today, today, you will be with me in paradise." Jesus offers the criminal a good and peaceful place in the midst of incredible suffering. Jesus offers a place of beauty in the face of one of the ugliest places on earth, one of the ugliest deaths. You know, as much as we want things to be better now, we trust Jesus with the power of what happens to us after we die. We trust Jesus to open for us a place of peace, of goodness, and of incredible beauty. Yes, this Sunday represents the end of the Christian year and the outcome of the election represents a new beginning. So in the midst of things we cannot control, let's take notes on Jesus' words today. And let us accept Jesus' power to allow God to shape our responses and our attitudes. Let us accept Jesus' power to forgive and to heal. Let us rejoice in Jesus' power to open to us a paradise, a joyous place where we will experience Jesus' presence forever. You know, when I look at the world's power, it all looks so ephemeral to me. It looks so fleeting. It's so temporary. But the power that God has given us through Jesus Christ is eternal. And what a beautiful eternity that will be under His umbrella of grace and mercy and peace. God grant that we find that in our hearts this season and to be ready for this kingdom of power that is coming to take us into His eternal presence. In Jesus' name, amen.